Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible starts. But when you think about it, it's not really the beginning, just our beginning. Because something was already happening. God was there, hovering over the waters. Always there, eternally there, whenever and wherever there is. He just started creating. Creating by simply speaking things into being. Let there be light. All right, time out. How many of you have actually ever said that? You know, come on, show your hands. You know, you flip on a light switch, you change a fuse, you bring a flashlight into a dark place. Come on, yeah. We all do that. We're playing God, and we'll get back to that in 2 weeks. But did you notice? Creation, in this account, is essentially God separating things. Light from darkness, water from water, land from water. In fact, waters is a very interesting concept in the ancient world. It was needed for life, but it scared them, it terrified them. They could not understand the concept of water. It was like we would look at nuclear fission or radiation. They didn't know how it worked, but it was deadly. You couldn't survive in there. You couldn't breathe and you would die. The waters would came rushing. You'd see it, a big expanse of water. It would be blue, but when you scooped it up in your hands, it's clear. You looked above, the skies were just waters being held back. The firmament, or the expanse, as this translation puts it. It was kind of wishful thinking, because occasionally that expanse would leak and water would happen, and they wanted to make sure it didn't completely disrupt all of life. You dig deep in the ground, and it's water. The ground trembles, so it's obvious like you're on water. It scared them. It terrified them. Every time you went near to the seas, what was the water doing? It was reaching out to grab you and suck you in. Water was terrifying. And this account starts with God doing something about waters. Not just hovering over them, but speaking to them. Chaos. There's also a rhythm to this account, you may have noticed. Evening and morning, the first day, the second day, the third day, and so on. And God saw what he was doing and saw that it was good. This kind of rhythmic thing keeps it flowing. We sense this simple, straightforward, steady progression. Unlike all the other ancient worlds, philosophies and stories of creation, which often took place in fiery infernos and ripped up wombs and giant explosions and battles and death, this creation is a story that takes place in the context of an everyday Hebrew work week. Things develop in an orderly fashion. The problem comes when we get to day 4. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky, a greater light and a lesser light. Now we know, we can read that that's the sun and the moon, right? But in this, take that to all the other religions of the world, unlike everything else that has happened so far, these things that other entities bow down and worship don't even get named. They're not even worthy of name, just great light, lesser light. And then he threw some stars in there. The rest of the universe is just tossed in as an afterthought. But the intriguing aspect about this is what these lights on day 4 are supposed to do. They are to separate day from night and mark the seasons and days and years. In the 17th century, Bishop James Usher did all sorts of scientific calculations in the spirit of the Enlightenment that was just beginning, and calculated that the day of creation took place October 23rd, 4004 BC at 9 a.m. We can scoff at that, but the fact of the matter is we just don't know when all this took place. We're not supposed to know. There is no way of measuring time, days, years, millennia, before day four, which opens up a whole bunch of different questions when we read this. If day and night are separated only now, what has it meant with all this? There was evening, there was morning, this day. Are they 24-hour days? Well, they could be, sure, but they could also be millions of years because there is no way to measure that time. If the sun and the moon weren't made until day four, where did that light come from on day one? Where indeed? It's a mystery. It's designed to be. You see, the story was written to give glory to God, not to establish astronomical facts. We notice as well in creation, there are some things that God calls directly into being. Other things, he just lets happen. When land is separated from water, vegetation appears, just like it does in the everyday world. And here on day four, he says, let the waters teem with living creatures. When the waters are set aside, these creatures develop an array of different species derived not from separation, but inclusion in its environment. Animal life has its origins in water. That's in the Bible. Now, I know this creation versus evolution debate has been going on for more than a century. But maybe we should hold on to our bumper stickers for a moment and just actually see what's actually being said and not said. Does it have to be an either-or equation? Scripture is not a scientific textbook, but it does speak the truth. Even truths that the reader cannot understand or be intelligent to grasp, whether way back then or today. Before my daughter Rebecca was two, Patty and I made a very foolish purchase. It was a hot summer, and we bought this fan to cool our house that had beautiful blue propellers. And it spun around and made this really cool-looking thing. And you could just see the mind of this 18, 19-month-old kid looking at that and loving it and wanting to do something about that fan. And I caught her walking across the living room to go and touch the fan. And I grabbed her hand, I slapped it, and I pointed to the fan, and I said, hot. Now, in essence, that's a lie. The fan was not hot. In fact, it was designed to do just the opposite. But Rebecca understood hot. She had touched the burner on our stove once, and she knew what that meant. She did not have any idea of what chop your fingers into little tiny bits actually means. I told her the truth in a way she could understand, even though that wasn't entirely the truth. I think sometimes that's what's happening here. There are many aspects of evolutionary theory that I question, but the rough planks and lines can be seen here behind this story, behind these words, that life starts in water. There's this linkage of birds and fish, which they hadn't really come to grips with being real until the 1960s. And then my favorite is throughout this account, you may have heard it, one of my favorite Hebrew words, chremesh. Chremesh means creeping things. Things that crawl along the ground, and it doesn't say what they could be, but these creeping things are always put there along with wild animals and livestock and creeping things. You see, to me, the Bible is the inspired word of God, and it shows this unfolding revelation that's not always recognized at the times. The prophets spoke words that didn't make sense till hundreds of years later with Jesus coming. The same thing here about any sort of theory, the questions, the possibilities out there. It just makes me marvel over it all the more. And finally, we come to the creation of human beings. And God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And he did. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Them, plural. Man, look at you. And he watches this take place. This would be the pinnacle of God's creation. This is the end of a good work week. Humankind was designed to be the pinnacle of creation, to be special and given a special task. Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. And God watched it happen. And he saw that it was very good. So God rested. And he expects his people to do the same. Now, by now, some of you might be upset, or at least, you know, now you have fuel to prove that your pastor is a heretic on how we're describing these things. But the fact of the matter is, my intent is to show and to let this holy, inspired narrative speak to us in its own terms. Because we try so hard to fit it into our mindset or what we understand or what we think we know or what we want to believe. This discounted idea of our misunderstanding of what we do not know. We forget that when Isaiah speaks the Lord's words to us, he says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're so much higher." The wonder, the beauty of creation is all the work of God. It's his plan. It's still his plan. This is a story first told to freed slaves who were creating for themselves a new life in a promised land. But it's told so that they could grasp the awesomeness of God and the world he created just for them. To see in his creating work also an example to follow, to be his people doing the same thing, making things, planning things, accomplishing things that might be different and building each and every day. And then to set aside one day as special, like God did, to rest and give thanks to the Creator of all. Genesis 1 is a great introduction to God at work. But it's only an introduction. It isn't meant to stand by itself. There's more to come. Much, much more. Fortunately. I say fortunately because if this chapter was all you had to know about God, the summation of everything that God and you can agree with, how would you describe him? You might come up with terms like, well, powerful, detail-oriented, wise, creative, eternal, in control, master of the universe. All these wonderful, awesome, you know, superlatives. But one thing's missing, isn't there? Where's the love? Why should this awesome, almighty, omnipresent God care about the likes of us? Or just one little other thing created. But I said, fortunately, this is not the only piece of scripture we have to go on. And centuries later, John, in writing his gospel, would start it with the exact same words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus, the source of light and life and love. From our perspective, we know the rest of the story. But the Jewish people didn't. So the author of Genesis decides to start over and tell the entire story of creation all over again from a different perspective. Which is what we're going to look at next week. Stay tuned. Amen. And now in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.